me remember what the Chronicle server is very quickly. So I will do that on well, with a graphical example. So the polynomial system we want to solve is made of equations f1 up to fn, and there's this inequation as well. And the solver is incremental, so we introduce these intermediate ideals that are made of the highest first equations. And the, this ideal is for a specialization of the preceding family of ideals. And this one is the same specialization with one variable less. Okay, so for the first part of the talk, I will remain on the same hypothesis as the last, as in the last two talks. So I assume that the sequence is regular, and all these intermediate ideals are radicals. Okay, so this is the Okay, this is the algorithm overview, and we can move to that so that you can follow the algorithm with the picture. So this is the system we want to solve, and we start with 2 points obtained from the intersection of the line with the ball, and so these are these 2 points. So these 2 points are called a lifting fiber, and from this lifting fiber we use an explicit version, computational version of the implicit theorem, of the implicit function theorem, so that we can deduce the intersection of the sphere with the plane that contains the line, and then we get this intersection, which is a circle. I can remove the line and the plane. And the second step of the algorithm consists in intersecting this lifting curve by the second equation, which is this cylinder. So I will get 4 intersection points that are right here. And then I do one more step of the solver. So these 4 points are the second lifting fiber. And I do once more an implicit function theorem to get these 2 lifting curves. So I can remove this one, and then I cut this lifting curve by the last equation, and well, I can remove the points. So there are going to be 4 points here, and we can check that at the end, the 4 points are actually the intersection points of the 3 hypersurfaces we had at the beginning. Okay, so this is the way the solver works. And in this talk, so I'm going to explain what the way the lifting fibers and the lifting curves are represented. And then I will give the algorithmic detail for the complexity analysis. And then I will discuss mainly the equidimensional decomposition and a few words about what we have already done for primary decomposition for a particular case. So univariate representations are for univariate representation in the positive dimensional case, we use that general Noether position that I introduced last time. So in very briefly speaking, this means that we have this integral ring extensions. So the first block of variables is called the free variables, and then the other variables are integral over the first variables. We require this hypothesis. So the minimal polynomials, so the integral relations for the variables in the second block satisfy this degree quality, which means that the total degree of these minimal polynomials are equal to their partial degree in here the main variable t. So this situation can be achieved by changing the coordinates from the outset. Okay, so once we have a general neutral position, we can bring back positive dimensional problems to zero dimensional problems. So what we do is that we put the free variables into the coefficient ring, and the module B becomes an algebra, zero dimension, an algebra whose dimension is finite, and the dimension is defines the degree of the ideal. Okay, and now we are taking a linear form which depends only on the second block of the variables, and we can define what are univariate representation for ideals in this way. So this is a very classical proposition. So you've got an equivalence between these all four properties. So a primitive element, so U is a primitive element if its power generates this algebra B prime. And so they are equivalent. So then when you have a primitive element, you've got a description of I prime with only univariate polynomials. Well, so there is a minimal polynomial, and then the dependent variables, the variables in the second block are can be expressed in terms of the roots of the minimal polynomial Q. And equivalently, you can multiply this kind of relation by anything which is invertible mod Q. And there are very specific cases when you multiply by the derivative of the minimal polynomial, then we've got a representation which is due to Kronecker, and we call it a Kronecker representation. So from a geometrical point of view, such a representation encodes the birational morphism between the variety defined by the ideal and the variety defined by the minimal polynomial. So when you substitute in the parametrization some roots of the minimal polynomial, then you can deduce the points on the variety defined by I. So this is the idea, geometrical idea. And if you have a zero-dimensional ideal, then you can check that the minimal polynomial is just made is a polynomial whose roots are the values of the primitive element at all the points of the ideal. And with that, so you can compute such a representation, and in the Kronecker solver, we use a trick which is due to Kronecker. And the idea is that once, if you have an algorithm to compute the minimal polynomial of a linear form, then you can deduce the parametrization of the variable. So if you can project, indeed, you can lift with approximately the same price. So the idea is the following. It's a very beautiful idea. So instead of taking, we are doing a deformation of the primitive element. So now I take primitive element with symbolic coefficients, and we consider its minimal polynomial, and the parametrization are going to be these partial derivatives of the minimal polynomials in terms of the coefficients of the primitive element. This is a very nice trick and very efficient in practice. And so then we can get this proposition. Some hypothesis on a nakedness of I and the general neutral position. Then we can characterize when I is radical by looking at the minimal polynomial of the generic linear form, and we've got what we've seen in the last talk. We've got the Kelly-Hamilton property. So far we have that the minimal polynomial evaluated on the linear form is zero in I prime. but we've got this stronger inclusion. It's also valid in I. And so when we differentiate this with respect to lambda, then we get this, which is non-explicitly as Kronecker strict, and this gives the parametrization of the variables in terms of the value of the primitive element. And moreover, so this is a consequence of what we've seen in the preceding talk. We've got we can bound the total degrees of all these polynomials in terms of the degree of the ideal. So for we can so here we have a representation in terms of symbolic coefficients, but we can specialize this capital lambda by values in K, and what we get is actually a Kronecker representation of the ideal with coefficients all in the ground field K. So we can see that on an example. So here are two equations. So so this defines a curve, and we can parameterize this curve in terms of the first free variable x1. So this is the minimal polynomial with degree 4. So u is just x2, and we've got this minimal polynomial, and you can see that the total degree is 4. This is the maximal power that you get in x1, and then these are the parametrizations. The denominator is the derivative, and you can also see that the total degrees are bounded as expected. And if you want to remove this fraction, then you have to invert the derivative of q modulo q, and then you will have the discriminant that will appear, and the size of the discriminant increases with the square of delta. And if you do that, you are going to get a bigger, much bigger expressions. So this Kronecker representation is very good for complexity, and so this is valid for variables, but this is also valid for the bit size of the integers that occurs. And this was used in an algorithm developed by Rouy and Roy, which is called the rational univariate representation, which is also the name that can be used for this kind of representation by rational by fractions. Okay, and so this representation is only valid, well, it seems to be only valid on an open set, because you have to avoid the place where this discriminant vanishes. But if indeed you can compute the values even when the discriminant is zero. So what you do is that you can specialize the free variables at any point, and then you can remove the GCD between Q and Q prime. So after specialization, Q might be not a square free anymore if you are at a singular point. But you can divide everything out by this GCD, and then you obtain a parametrization of the fiber. And so this can be computed very fast. So this is very natural if you think in terms of complex analysis. But from the algebraic point of view, this is not as obvious. Well, I've got no very, very simple proof. It uses a lot of things that we saw in the second lecture. Okay, so now for the complexity analysis. So a few words on elementary algorithm. So for bivariate polynomials, I use the dense representation, and I count each arithmetic operation in K with a constant cost, and I use this notation soft O to hide logarithmic factors. And so I say softly linear and softly quadratic with respect to this notation, which is now standard. And what is really needed is operations on univariate polynomials, and then for bivariate polynomial, it's just a stack of two univariate polynomials. Well, you can. There are many tricks to do it a little bit better, but well, the point is that you can do all the arithmetic operations in soft linear time with polynomials, and this is reality. I mean, you can really implement that, and this is done in math magics. Here you can see, so I've written little functions to get the time spent in the GCD between two univariate polynomials over this prime number, and if I draw the picture of the time taken in terms of the size, you see this is what is called softly linear. Okay. So let's go back to the Kronecker solver. So these are the notation that we keep on one screen. And so one summary of what we saw last time is this one, is this proposition. With the regular and reduced hypothesis, we've got all the intermediate system of expected codimension, and we've got these ideals being radical. So thanks to this, we can do a random linear change of the coordinates and get all these properties with a high probability of success. So we can have general interposition for the ideals. We can assume that all the fibers, or all the lifting fibers are radical, and that the fibers are compatible with the equation. I mean, if I remove points in the fiber, then I want to be sure that each point removed corresponds to a component that is included in the hyperspace defined by the equation. And the last free variable is we can assume that the last free variable after the intersection becomes the primitive element, and this is important for complexity. This gains a little. Okay, so the lifting step works as follows. So we enter with a Kronecker representation of the lifting fiber, and we give in return a Kronecker representation of the lifting curve. So the idea is very classical. We are going to use the Newton operator. We've got the radicality assumptions, which is necessary to that. So we go into the completion in the free variables, and we will approximate the Kronecker parametrization of the ideal in this way. So the first approximation is given, the initial approximation is given by the lifting fiber, the parametrization of the lifting fiber, and the parametrization of the curve is just the specialization of the parametrization of the whole ideal. And so we are going to work with that sequence of precision. So with the Newton operator, the precision doubles at each step. So we have a convergence here in 2 to the k. And I mentioned just half of the Jacobian criterion, which is the part that is actually needed for the correctness. So in the completion, the parametrization of the ideal is still valid. And I can invert the Jacobian matrix of the system at any point of the fiber. And so Well, I can show that in the next slide. It's only used at the end, yes, this is correct, yes. And with that exponent k is the approximation of the representation of the ideal to that precision. So you can copy. So here you recognize the Newton operator. And so you initialize with the parametrization given at the fiber, and then you do as many steps as necessary to get a precision which is the degree of the ideal. because the total degrees are always bounded by the degree of the ideal. So this gives you the precision needed for the lifting. But if you apply one step of Newton, then you improve the parametrization, but not the minimal polynomial. So then you have to twist a little bit the expressions to lift at the same time the minimal polynomial and the parametrization. So this is a nice variant of the Newton iteration for that. And at the end, you really use the Kronecker representation, because you can, because with the Kronecker representation, you can truncate the power series at the precision, just the degree plus one. Well, okay, so this is how it works. And so I can show that on a very, very elementary example. So here we've got just one equation. And this you have here, you have the parametrization for the lifting fiber. So here we just have the minimal polynomial, which is obtained by putting a zero for x2 in that expression. And well, you can check that the parametrization is correct. And then we use the Newton operator, which is just given by this expression. So after one step, we've got this value for x3, and then this is this expression for delta, and when we apply the formula on the right screen, then we obtain the new value for the minimal polynomial q, and you can check that you've just recovered that term which corresponds to that term. Okay, so on this very elementary example, you can see that these formulas are correct, and this is no more complicated in the general case. Okay, so for the cost analysis, it's not very complicated. So with the quadratic convergence, the cost is a sum of terms, but because the precision doubles, then it's dominated. This is a geometric progression, and so we can focus on the cost of the last step only. So in the last step, you've got univariate polynomials with coefficients that are univariate power series, and everything has a degree of precision, the degree of the ideal. So the cost with fast arithmetic, you can do all the operations in soft linear time. Then you have to evaluate the system, you have to evaluate the Jacobian, and you've got to you have to invert the Jacobian. So this is not optimal, but well, this is a simplification, and you've got this cost for the lifting step. So now the intersection step. So we've got a lifting curve, which is given by a Kronecker representation. And we want to cut with a new equation. So what we do, we evaluate the equation with using the parametrization of the curve, and basically what we do is that we compute a resultant. So we do elimination and we get a polynomial that depends only on the last three variable. And what we've seen last time is that this resultant is exactly the characteristic polynomial of these last three variables for the intersection. So there is nothing more to be done. We've got exactly the characteristic polynomial of a variable. So with generic coordinates, in particular, we get the degree of the intersection is the degree of that minimal polynomial. And so now what we want to do is to use that Kronecker trick. Once we know this minimal polynomial, then we can deduce the parametrizations. And this can be done in this way. So we consider this sub-resultant, so I'm not going to define that, but when you compute the resultant here, you do the Euclidean algorithm, successive divisions. So at the end, you get just a constant, but the step before, you had a polynomial of degree 1, well, generically, but with generic coordinates, this occurs. So this is the first subresultant that gives the expression of the preceding primitive element in terms of the new primitive element. So with just this subresultant, you can deduce all the parametrization. So then you have to take care with the complexity, because the degrees of these subresultants are very bad. And so what we do is that once we have the minimal polynomial, then we compute this subresultant modulo the minimal polynomial. Then we control the degree in terms of xr. And at the end, we just have to replace xr plus 1 by this value in the preceding, in the parametrization of the curve. And so that's all what the algorithm does. But again, for complexity, it's better to use fast multipoint evaluation and interpolation. So you can specialize the Kronecker representation of the curve at sufficiently many points. So the number of points is known by the Bézout theorem. So this number of points is mainly d times delta. So this is the degree of the intersection. And then you interpolate the minimal polynomial, and then you compute this subresultant, and you substitute in the previous parametrization. So this is all what the algorithm does, and for the cost, you have to know that you can do fast multipoint evaluation and interpolation in soft linear time. So with that, for the first step, you've got this cost. Then you have to evaluate at all the points the new equations, and then for the subresultant there is also a fast algorithm, and at the end you got a cost which is still quadratic in the degree and linear in the evaluation cost of the equation. Okay, so a very small example. So this is the system we saw. Well, this is still the same system and the same pictures, actually. So this is the minimal polynomial of the curve. So here we just are at the second step. We have two equations in three variables. So they determine a curve, and So I evaluate the new equation on the curve. I get this expression, and then I compute the resultant here of the value of the function with the minimal polynomial of the curve, and I take the numerator because I'm with, well, here this is not done with fast multipoint evaluation and interpolation. This is done with rational functions in X. And then with the subresultant, you get this expression for the primitive element of the curve in terms of the new primitive elements, and then you can check that at the end you obtain really solutions of the intersection. So these are the computations being done. So at the end, let's summarize. If delta I is the degree of the IS system and is the maximal of the degree of the equation, then this is the cost for the lifting step, which is quite similar to the intersection step, and this is really observed in practice. These two steps usually take the same amount of time, and the cleaning step is very easy, so I don't give the detail, and this is very cheap. And finally, we've got a complete proof of the Kronecker solver with the complexity. Okay. Now, what happens if we remove the assumption? So the assumption were the regular sequence. So the regular sequence ensures that when you add a new equation, the dimension decreases by one. So all the components at each intermediate steps have the same dimension. So if you remove that hypothesis, we have to face with with many components with all the possible dimensions. And so we are interested in computing what is called the equidimensional decomposition of the ideal. So this is a union of varieties which are equidimensional, and we want all these components for all the dimensions. And it turns out that you can generalize the Kronecker solver for that. So this is how the algorithm can be implemented. So with the exponent I, this is the equidimensional decomposition for the same intermediate problem. So we still carry on with incremental solving. But now, which is very difficult, is that you have to do all these computations. So for each equidimensional component, you have to compute, you need to compute the intersection with the next equation, and then it can split in components being of the same dimension of the one being cut, and new components being of just one dimension less. This is the principal ideal theorem that we saw last time that gives you this proposition. So you compute all these intersections, but at the end, what you want is you want to gather the component according to their dimension. And you can't just put everything together because there might be inclusions. For instance, there might be components here being already here. Or you can have just points being included in a component of higher dimension. Then you have to do some cleaning to deduce the irreducible decomposition. But this cleaning simply reduces to computing, well, to compute a difference between varieties, and at the end we get the same kind of complexity, still linear in the number in the evaluation cost of the system, but now instead of a quadratic time in the degree, we've got a cubic time. So this is a little worse. And one more difference is that now so the degree counts the multiplicities. But it's not a problem. In my previous talk, if the degree I defined was already counting the multiplicities. So to be very close to the definition, well, without defining the multiplicities, I can define the degree of any ideal by the sum of the degrees of the primary of the isolated primary components. And this is what happens in that algorithm. This is this degree which is important. So in step two, you have to compute this set minus operator, and it's the bottleneck of the algorithm. This is responsible of the cubic time because you have to test inclusion of every component in other components. So this introduces a combinatorial factor. Then you can represent all the components by lifting fibers. But now, because the ideals are not radical, you won't be able to apply the Newton iterator, but you can generalize the Newton operator to do that. And once you get the equidimensional decomposition by means of univariate representation, then it suffices to factorize the minimal polynomials, and you get the irreducible decomposition for free. And the polynomial factorization is now very fast to do that, where the exponents are less than three. So the polynomial factorization is not the bottleneck for the prime decomposition. Okay, so here is a very small example with two equations. So the equidimensional decomposition for the first equation is made of something of a plane of degree two these are two of, now we've got two variables. So everything has dimension one, so the two components have dimension one. But there is one simple which corresponds to this factor, and the second one which has multiplicity two. And when you cut with the second equation, so you cut this component and it does nothing. And when you cut the second component, you obtain 2 points. But one of the 2 points is included, which one? This one is included in this variety. Okay, so you have to remove it, and at the end you return that decomposition. So what you can see on this example is that this point 0, 1 is a lifting fiber for For this component, before intersection, you have from this lifting fiber, you have to compute the lifting curve, but this curve has multiplicity 2 for F1. So this is this example. But what you can do is that instead of using F1, you can use the derivative of F1, and then the curve, the multiplicity of the curve drops by 1, and then you can use the Newton operator with the derivative of the equation. And this is what can be generalized with several variables and several equations. Well, this is not very difficult, but the very difficult point is when you want this generalized operator to have a cost that grows with the multiplicity. If you don't care about the complexity, then there are many extensions of Newton operator in the literature. But if you really care of the complexity, then it's much more difficult. But well, this is a black box. We can give that to you, and then the algorithm becomes elementary. So then there is another strategy that can be used. So you can use Bertini theorem. That was, well, the theorem is old, but it was introduced for polynomial system in a very nice paper by Crick and Pardo. And the idea is the following. Suppose that you enter with these equations. So, and this is a regular sequence, but everything has multiplicity 2. So if you replace this system by random linear combinations, then the multiplicity will be thrown at the end of the algorithm only. So you can see here after a combination, this has no multiple component. When you add F2, this has no multiple component as well. But at the end with F3, then you see all the multiplicities. But in all the steps except the last one, you can really do the Kronecker solver with that. And with no generalization of the Newton operator. So this is very efficient idea. Well, it has some drawbacks. So one of the first drawbacks is that you will start with the maximal degree. So if you have equation of small degrees, mixing all these equations can spoil this property of of your input system. But well, you can use both the strategies and take the one which is faster. And then just a word on primary decomposition. So this is mainly open problems, and the questions are very elementary. So the first one is that is what is a good representation for a primary ideal? So for prime ideal, we can use this univariate representation. We've got good complexities and so on. But for primary ideals, well, I don't know exactly what to do to get at least a good complexity just for the representation, independently of the algorithm being used. And then there is another problem, is that what are we going to do with the embedded components? I mean, the representation is not unique. And even we don't know if there is a best representation, and we can't take there are some theories, but I don't know them very much, but basically you can't take the embedded primaries into the Bezout theorem. So there is a question of bounding the cost of the embedded components, which is not very easy. But well, we did some first steps towards that problem with Jovi. Well, she was a PhD student with me, and so I can explain it very briefly what we've done. Well, it's just paper of hers indeed. And you start with that Bertini trick, and then all the multiplicities are only seen at the end. So you can apply the Kronecker solver, and you can get a description of the solutions from the geometrical point of view. So once you get the solution, you can go back one step, and then you can consider the germ of the lifting curve at the solution. And that germ is a module, so it's a free module over power series, and we can compute the basis of this module, and with the basis we can compute the basis of the coimage of the multiplication by the last equation. So this is the local version of what I've presented at the end of the of the previous talk. And then you can get a basis of the local algebra of the root in time, which is polynomial in the multiplicity. And for simple roots, of course, you use the algorithm presented before. So the overhead just concerns the multiple roots. And so that's all I wanted to say. And there are more recently, so we've seen all the work for real algebraic geometry in Mark Justice's talk. And there are, so this deformation technique can be extended in many cases. And one of the most sophisticated cases is this one. You can handle sparse system with this kind of techniques. So the homotopy is very close than the numerical homotopy. It's done with power series and things like that. And also, so there are some works comparing, well, there is one work comparing explicitly that Kronecker solver with numerical techniques. And so here is a summary of the references. I didn't want to put too many. And the last references is one is a work by Ferschelde, Sommerzell, and Wampler. So and Sommerzell has already explained that very briefly. So you can adapt these techniques, the incremental solving and the computation of the equidimensional decomposition with numerical homotopies. And the algorithms are very similar at the end, except that you replace the symbolic homotopy by path tracking numerically. Okay, so that's all. Thank you for your attention.